and Brother Joe are going to come and sing just before preaching tonight.
Tonight, I've asked Pastor Cody to preach for us. This morning, we were looking at faith when it comes to giving, and hope that was a help to you. I shared with you mostly a lot of what I've learned over the years about giving and the reason for giving. And tonight, I've asked Pastor Cody to preach for us on faith when it comes to trials. And certainly something that he and his wife have walked through, as has many of us. But I thought I'd have Pastor Cody preach tonight on that. Pastor Cody?
Amen. And I just want to, as Pastor said, just kind of get it out of the way from the beginning. I went through some trials last year. God got me through them. And I praise God through that. But let me just let you understand, the reason I'm going to preach this message tonight is to allow you to be a blessing to somebody else in your trial. You know, we were able to go through this, and it was a blessing to us to go through this. And we've heard from other folks that the way that God used this trial in our lives was a blessing to someone else. Whether, I think it was a few weeks after Noah, we would go to the store and we'd run into someone at Walmart, and they would say how encouraged they were through the story of Noah. Or someone would message us and say, listen, your story is a message of encouragement. And we would just say, well, praise God, I'm glad we were able to be an encouragement to you. But folks, the reason I want to preach this message is for you guys to be a testimony of how good God is. And the greatest way you could be a testimony of the goodness of God is when you give God the glory when you're going through a trial. When your neighbors know, I think of my neighbors that live next door to me, they knew that my wife was gone for 84 days in the hospital with Noah. And they watched and they waited for a return. And when they saw Noah come back and they saw how God blessed that, that was a testimony to my neighbors of God's goodness. And folks, listen, there's someone watching you tonight. There's someone watching you and waiting to see how you're going to handle some trials and some tragedy in your life. And may it be said in your own life that you were a testimony of God's goodness. You know, you guys, some of you may look up to me and say, wow, God really was great in his life using him through this trial. Well, let me just be honest with you. There's some of you that speak to me that way. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'll be very honest with you. David Anderson is one of my heroes in that and what he went through last year and how if you ever asked him how he's doing, he'd just look you in the eyes and say, God is good. And what he was going through and what Martha was going through. Listen, how he handled his trial last year. Guess what it did for me? It increased my faith in God. I think of Suzanne Bonds last year. You know, we were reading, going back through some of the Facebook posts last year. And Suzanne Bonds posted on one of Charity's things. And we all know what Miss Suzanne Bonds was going through at the exact same time that Noah was going through, what we were going through. And Suzanne Bonds was trying to encourage my wife when she was going through fighting the lung cancer. Wow. Amen? I think of someone like Spud Nation. Spud, you're an encouragement to me. I don't know how many of you guys know, but 80 years old, a little over 80, a little over 80, right? A little over 80. His wife's with dementia. Son's got cancer. Yeah, you wouldn't know it by looking at the man. Smiling, giggling, joyful spirit. Spud Nation, you are a hero to me, sir. Every time you walk in the door. I want to brag on our pastor. Many of you have been bosses and you've dealt with people. And you understand as a pastor, dealing with people is difficult. You know, pastors don't get the phone calls of, hey, I won the lottery today, okay? They don't call you at midnight saying, hey, pastor, we won the lottery. Just want to let you know. People call pastor at midnight because things are out of whack. Someone's sick. Someone's got some problems. And folks, I just want to let you know, pastor is a hero to me in this area because you never, ever see that man down. Ever. Come in the office, and I know he'd been up all night. He's got 2-3 Starbucks coffees on the desk, but the man's got a smile on his face. And pastor, you are an encouragement to me. You are someone that I look up to. So many pastors that I have been around, after 2 or 3 years in the ministry, it wears on them. And you can tell there's a smile on the outside, but on the inside, it just bears them down. But with Pastor McPhillips, is a smile on the inside. And that's just a testimony of God's goodness because you know the man is going through difficult times. You know there's something in the background, but God is able to give him a smile through that. And folks, I just want to encourage you. God got us through this and allowed us to be a help and a blessing to somebody. But folks, in your life, you're going to come across some trials. I've learned that the older I get, the more I need God. And one of the things that have been really on my heart lately is young people, the young people that I get to minister to, and how I've been talking to the Sherberts and the Burges and how they've been working with young people now for years and years and years. And on Wednesday night, I told the teenagers, we had almost 20 teenagers. I said, listen, the honest goodness truth is that only 20% of you are probably going to get through your teen years life still having a relationship with God. And the fact of the matter is that only about 20% of you are going to be faithful members of the church 20 years from now. Why is that? Because something's going to come across their life, and instead of looking to God, they're going to look to their friends. Something's going to come into their life, and instead of being accepted, they're going to be cast out. And folks, my desire is that the trials in our life and the joy that comes from those trials would impact our young people. That they would say, wow, they went through that and were able to praise God through it. God is special. So that when a trial comes in a young person's life, because listen, I don't care who you are. If you're over the age of 18, these young people look up to you and they're watching you. And when a trial comes in your life or when something difficult comes into your life, they're waiting to see. And I pray that our young people will all look up to us and say, wow, God got them through that. So that when a trial comes, maybe they quit church at 16. But come time that they're 26 and cancer or a miscarriage or a divorce, I pray that a memory of a person at Grace Baptist Church comes to their heart. They went through that too. And they went through it so gracefully. How? God. And that trial in their life would bring them back to Grace Baptist Church. And you would have no idea. You might even be passed away, but your faith, through your frailty, allows someone else to finish. Allows someone else to come back to God. My desire is for us all to pay attention tonight. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. You need this message. Because we're all going to come to a point in time in our life to where frailty comes. To where sickness, to where pain, to where struggles, to where agony, despair comes into our life. And we are going to need to know where to go to. And not only as believers are we going to need to know where to turn to, but we're going to need to know how to handle it and to carry ourselves through it. My prayer, my desire is that this message will help you understand I have a frailty. Someone's watching me. And I want to be able to finish my frailty by faith so that the people watching me will say, God is good. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless this sermon. And while I'm praying, would you allow God to speak to your heart through this sermon? And pray and ask God to open your heart. No matter how old you are, I hope you pay attention. You'll take some notes and it'll be an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to study your word. And God, tonight we're going to look at the book of Job. And God, I don't want the eyes to be on me. I want the eyes to be on you. God, I want the eyes to be on the man, Job, who went through 10 times what I went through. And God, yet he was able to give you the glory. And God, my desire is that someone in this room tonight, that everybody in this room tonight, would be able to take some notes and be able to get the faith they need to get them through these trials, to finish their frailties, so that those around them could be encouraged. And Lord, speak to us, help us. And God, use this message in a mighty way. Not me, but God, may your word speak, and may your hearts be turned. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, before we talk about finishing our frailties with faith, let's look at what a frailty is. I want us to understand frailty will find you. Everyone in this room, eventually is going to come a point in time in your life to where something's going to go not the way you want it to go. All right? A frailty is going to come. Listen, first thing we need to understand about frailty is it's going to happen to you. If you're not going through a frailty today, what's probably going to happen next week? A frailty. If you're going through good times right now, those of you who are experienced, what's probably going to happen a month from now? A frailty. Folks, frailties are going to find us. I want us to understand frailty could be because of our failures. God can bring things into our life, a sickness, a pain, a tragedy. God could bring difficulties into our life because of our mistakes. We've got to understand that. We've got to make sure that in our lives, God's bringing the frailties to strengthen us, not to get us on our knees and ask for forgiveness. Because, folks, listen, we don't need more struggles. Amen. We need God's blessings, not the hand of wrath from God. But, folks, sometimes frailties come because of our failures. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in this room tonight and you know that you're doing something that's contrary to the word of God, and I'm not going to talk about sin tonight. This is the only time I'm going to touch on it. Get to the altar tonight and get it taken care of. Because God may not be punishing you now, but it may be coming. It may be coming. Something down the road is going to hit your pipe because of something you're doing contrary to the word of God. God says, yield, and you say no. God has a way of making you yield. If God wants you on your knees before him, God has a way of getting you on your knees before him. My encouragement for you is this, and frailties come sometimes because of our failures. And if you know something in your life that you're failing God at, find yourself at the altar. Beg. Plead God for forgiveness. Ask him, please don't punish me, God. Please don't punish me or my family. Forgive me for my failures, Lord God. I want us to understand another thing about frailty is our friend. What? Frailty is our friend? Listen, folks, I'll tell you, and those of you who are experienced in trials know this. I wouldn't give any of my frailties for nothing. Every frailty that I've come across in my life benefited me. It taught me something. It strengthened my walk with God. And if you go through a frailty and it doesn't draw you closer to God, that frailty failed you. Because frailty comes from God to benefit us, to sharpen us. Iron sharpeneth iron. What did Paul say? He says, three times I prayed to God that God would give me the strength, that God would take it away. But he says, listen, my strength is sufficient for you. And he says, more gladly will I rejoice in my trial. Paul says, this is something that I'm going to rejoice in. Because when I'm weak, he is strong. And folks, let's not fear frailty. Let's look at our frailty. Let's look at our struggle. Let's look at our trial and say, God's trying to teach me something. God's trying to draw me closer to him. And I'm going to take this trial and I'm going to let it use me and mold me into where God wants me to. What does the potter sometimes have to do with the clay? Sometimes he has to what? Break it, right? So he can make it into what he wants it to be. Folks, sometimes God brings things into your life to make you into what you should be. And sometimes we fight that molding. And sometimes we push it away and we don't let God make us. Listen, don't make your failures, don't make your frailties to keep having to be repeated, to keep having to do through it. Get the trial, learn the lesson, draw near to God. Frailty is your friend. Don't fear it. Embrace the frailty. Find out what God wants you to learn from it. I want us to understand this. There are small frailties and there are large frailties. We may have a large frailty, but someone sitting next to us is struggling with a small frailty. And to some people, a small frailty is a large frailty. And to some people, a large frailty is a small frailty. But a frailty is a frailty. Listen, God begins to bring the small ones into our life. And folks, if we cannot handle the small frailties, God is not going to allow us to get through the larger ones. Our faith is not going to hold. Folks, I encourage you with all my heart, when the frailties come, trust God and have faith. Because as we know, it's going to get bigger and bigger. Because our life, things don't get better. Amen? We understand that. Things are going to get a little worse and a little worse until the point where we finally get better in heaven. But folks, listen, the small frailties, we've got to look at them as small. I know this is, some of you may not like this statement, but it's true. A carnal person makes a small problem a big problem. Someone who is a worldly person takes a small issue and makes it a big issue. A spiritual person makes a small problem a big problem and takes it into a small problem. Someone who is walking with God can take a huge thing, cancer, death, injury, fire. They can take this huge frailty and say it's no big deal. God's in control. That's spiritual maturity, folks. But some people, so carnal, so into themselves and so into the flesh that a small frailty, something as small as a word spoken to someone. This week I was joking with one of my friends online. Said a small joke about how you're not very smart and you're not very good looking and you're not very strong. But he's a friend of mine. Well, someone saw that and they got offended that I was trying to be offended, that I was joking with this person. It was a joke. Me and this guy have a good relationship, okay? Matter of fact, he started it by saying he wasn't very strong and very smart. So I just said, I agree with you very much. Well, somebody got offended because I was joking with this guy. Like, I was joking. It was a simple, innocent joke that me and him, between me and him, and this person got offended. And they took a non-issue and made it into an issue to where I had to go apologize and, you know, do the Hail Marys a few times or something. You know, ask God, please forgive me for joking with someone I wasn't joking with. But folks, listen, hey, in your lifetime, make something big and turn it into a small issue. And if it's a small issue, what should you do with it? Just a small frailty. Just a small one. Piece of cake. Don't make it into a big deal. Now, as we talk about frailty, let's talk about what faith is. Faith is confidence in God. Confidence. Can we have confidence in ourselves, yes or no? Can we have confidence in ourselves? No. We can't have confidence. Why can't we have confidence in me? Frailty. I can't have confidence in myself. I could die tonight. Amen? I could get hurt. Can I have confidence in other people? Yes or no? No, you know, that's a simple answer. No, I know that. You know, my son this morning was telling me someone on the bus said he was going to give him like 20 cars or something. And I said, Josiah, that's probably not going to happen. He probably doesn't have the 20 cars to give you. And just this disappointment on his face was, oh, you mean they lied to me? Yeah, sometimes people do that. Do you guys remember that? That first time you found out that people fail you? Now that we're older, we understand, man, I can't trust anybody. But listen, faith in God is He's never failed you once, ever. Oh, well, that was that one time. No, 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 no. God never failed you. Ah, that was that one time. God, no, no, no. God never failed anybody ever. And He never will, and He never has. God is faithful. And faith is saying God is and never will change. And I have faith that that's who God is. God cares for you and He loves you. Some folks, I think, God loves us more than we love ourselves. Do you understand that? God loves us so much that He loves us even more than we love ourselves. You know, this week I was facing Josiah's surgery. And just simple oral surgery. He's going to be asleep for 2 hours, but surgery is surgery. And listen, I was sitting there and I was thinking, God, it's my son. Please, I love him dearly. Please, God, help him. And then I just stopped and I thought, God, You love Josiah more than I love Josiah. Amen? He's your son. He's your child. I know you're going to take care of him. And it was that thought I stopped worrying. It was at that thought that I said, Josiah's going to be just fine. Because God loves Josiah. And God's going to take care of Josiah. And I also, just an extra thought was this. You know what? I was more afraid for his surgery than he was. As his father, it scared me more than it scared him. Kind of got me thinking about this. Do you know it probably worried God more about Jesus going to the cross than it did Jesus? Because that was his son. If you have children, you know it almost hurts you as much when your children are going through pain. Just imagine what God was going through as he let Jesus suffer on the cross and die for the sins of the humanity. Just that thought in my head that said, what he's going through bothers me more than it bothers him. And though Jesus was in agony, God above was looking down and he was in worse agony. He couldn't stand that his son was suffering. And that's how much God loves you. And folks, we can have confidence and faith in God because he loves you. He showed that he loved you by his son Jesus dying on the cross for you. He showed that you love you time and time again in your life with the small things and the big things. And faith in God is confidence. And so many times we lose that because we've been mistreated. Not only is faith confidence, faith is simple. Even a child can do it. What did Jesus say that he wanted us to have faith like? A little child. Faith is a little child. If a little child can have faith, can we? Amen. If a little child can have faith, can we have faith? There's not a single person in this world who could not. Because if a child can do it, we can do it. But what happens is that as we get older, people mistreat us. People treat us wrong. We get this misinterpretation of God that he's not good anymore and he's forsaken us. Listen, get back to that point of a child where if someone said something, oh yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to do that. Because they just trust everything they're told. Listen, get to the point as a child to where the Bible says it, you believe it, that settles it. Matter of fact, get to believe it out. The Bible says it, that settles it. Get to that point as a child where God says that he can. God says there's nothing impossible with him. And get that in your head and trust God. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is simple because we can trust him. If a child can have the faith, listen, we can have that faith. And so we've looked at faith. We've looked at what frailties is. And now we're going to look at how we can finish our frailties with faith. And we're going to look at a man who went through the worst frailty you could ever imagine in Job. If you've ever read the Bible and you've come across the book of Job, you understand what I'm talking about. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Job. And we're going to look at the story here of Job and how Job had faith through his frailty, and how when he finished his frailty with faith, God blessed him exceedingly. And folks, God wants to bless you exceedingly. And we're going to look at Job and see three areas that Job did that we can have in our lives to help us through our frailty. And so Job chapter 1, we're just going to touch base on Job. And most of you know the story, but maybe if you don't know the story of Job, here it is. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. Job was a rich man. Job loved God. Job served God. But did that mean Job was exempt from trials? No. They go on to read in Job chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like unto him on the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, this is Satan talking, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, and upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and Satan went to destroy Job. He was going to bring a trial into Job's life so that Job would curse God. Because he knew that if he could get Job to curse God, thousands of people would lose their faith in God. He knew that so many people were looking up to Job and saying, Job is a man of God. And when a trial came to Job's life, people were watching, what's going to happen? And the devil knew if he could get Job to fall, he could get thousands of people to fall. And folks, you are like Job tonight. There's someone watching you through your trial, and the devil's sitting there saying, if I could just get you to curse God, if I could just get you to drop out of church, if I could just get you to leave in sin, I've got you. I've got your family, I've got your grandchildren, I've got your neighbors. They're going to curse God as well. But Job says, God says, I have confidence that Job's going to pass this test. And I have confidence that this isn't going to go the way you think it's going to go, the devil. But you just go ahead and try. And let's see what happened to Job here. And let's just go through the trials that he had in Job chapter 1, verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. So he lost all of his donkeys and all of his servants there. Verse 16 we see, and the fire of God has fallen from heaven, has burned up the sheep, and the servants have consumed them. So all of his donkeys, all of his cattle, all of his sheep are gone. Verse 17, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, slain the servants with the edge of the sword. Now Job's lost all of his livestock. Now what does Job have left? He has all he has left is his family. Job chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. Now he lost his children. He lost his cattle. All of his income, everything's gone. Verse 20 and 21. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. Just remember that point because we're going to come back to that. And worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But listen, the devil wasn't done. You go up to the next chapter, in chapter 2. It didn't work. God says, it didn't work, devil. You can't have Job. He withstood the trial. Job said, the devil says, well, I ain't done with him. Let me go again. He passed the first test. Now we're going to see if he's faithful enough to pass the second test. So Job chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like unto him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou hast moved me against him and destroyed him without cause. Without a cause. There was no reason for this trial other than the devil. Listen, God doesn't need a reason for a trial. It just happens. It's a test. It's something to draw you closer to him. God wasn't good to Job. God was good to Job. God was there with him every step of the way. Well, God did Job wrong. No, God didn't do Job wrong. This was all a part of his will and his plan. And Satan answered and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will give her his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone, his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot into his crown. And he took a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But Job, he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? Job passed the test. And it was at that point in time that I believe God probably would have ended that trial. But God wasn't done using Job. God could have cut that trial off right there because Job did not curse God. But God said, Job, you passed it. I've got one more thing for you to do. I've got some folks that are going to be watching you. They're going to want to know what you're going to do through this trial. And they came to him. And what did Job say? Did Job complain about all the things that he went through? Yes, he did a little bit. But most of the things that Job did, folks, was this. He praised God through this. How could Job go through such frailty and have such faith? How could he finish with this faith? Folks, it's very simple. Here's the three steps, and we're going to get through them to be done. Listen, to have finishing faith, you must know God. To get finishing faith, you must know God. Know who he is. It says in Job chapter 2, verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? He says, I understand God. Sometimes God gives good, sometimes God brings bad. I know God. In Job chapter 5, verse 9, he says, which doest great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Here he is praising God. Job 5, verse 10, who giveth rain to the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields. Verse 11, to set him on high, those that below, those that which mourn may be exalted to safety. Job 5:17. This is what Job knew about God. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Verse 18, for he maketh sore, he bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Verse 19, he shall deliver thee six troubles. Yea, the seven, thou shalt no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death and war and the power of the sword. How did Job finish this frailty with faith? He knew who God was. He knew that God was good. He knew God was glorious. He knew that God could do anything. He did not waver. He knew God's got this. He can take care of me through this. He had given me blessings, and now he has taken it away. But through it, God is good. Folks, if you're going to get through a trial, the first thing you have to come to understand is it was God's will in the first place for it to happen. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an uh-oh. God put that there for a reason. And God put this in Job's life to test him. And God put this trial in Job's life so that he might have a testimony for them around them. But folks, listen, if you don't know God, and I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about reading your scriptures and studying the scriptures and the precepts and the commandments and finding out who God is. That's what the Word of God does. It teaches us who God is. And Job knew who God was. Folks, if you're going to get through a trial, you've got to know God. You've got to know how big he is. You've got to know how strong he is. You've got to know how much he loves you. You've got to know all this about him so that he can get you through this trial. You want to finish your frailty with faith? Get to know him. Get to know his word. You want to finish your frailty with faith? Don't just know God. You've got to kneel. You've got to kneel. Not just in prayer, but in praise. Folks, it's when you can take a trial and get on your knees and tell God thank you for it. That's when God says, you've learned. You've learned. Job got on his knees and he did what? Complained? Asked God to heal him? The Bible says he got on his knees and he worshipped him. What is worship? Worship is giving exaltation to God. To take this and make God important. To finish your frailty with faith, you've got to kneel. And not just kneel and ask God to help you. You've got to kneel and tell God how grateful you are for that trial. God, I'm so glad that I'm sick today. God, I'm so glad that the car didn't start today. Why would I be glad for that? Because it was God's will. And God brought that in your life to teach you something. God brought that in your life to draw you closer to him. God brought that in your life to maybe show his power. God brought that in your life maybe to show his power in someone else's life. Can't think of how many times something happened in my life and someone was able to see God's hand in it and was able to praise God through it as well. Folks, listen, you can't just know God. You've got to kneel and talk to him and ask him and seek him and trust him. And not just kneeling and going to God and saying, God, I need this, and God, this is broke, and God, this hurts. No, go to God and praise him. Tell him how wonderful he is. These verses we just read was not Job complaining. It was Job simply giving God the glory. Folks, when the trials come, praise God. Don't complain. Don't murmur. When the trials, when the frailties, when the pain comes, praise him. Give him the glory. Listen, you start turning things around on the devil because the devil wants you to get discouraged. The devil wants you to get angry. The devil wants you to get bitter. But when you start turning that bitterness upside down and making it better, the devil gets upset. The devil wants you to curse God. The devil wants you to give up. But when you start kneeling and praising God, the devil gets so upset. I had you! I thought I had you down in the pit and you were going to curse God and leave the church and go your own way, but you're praising God? That gives the devil fits. Folks, you want to give the devil fits this week? Praise God. You want to give the devil fits? You want to send him running? Start telling the devil how good God is. Stop complaining, stop moaning, start groaning, and just get on your knees and just have a hallelujah, praise God fit. Amen? Those trials, those frailties, all that stuff will start floating away as you start praising him and start thanking him. Because is God good to us? Amen. Amen. Hey, praise God. Noah was in a hospital with half a lung. No, one lung and nothing here. But praise God, he was in a hospital. They knew how to fix him. I was talking to Laura Meikle last week. There's three people in this church today that are very thankful for Barnes Jewish Hospital. Amen. Aren't you thankful we have the ability to get to Barnes Jewish Hospital, Kevin Meikle? Aren't you glad for Barnes Jewish Hospital, Bob McGeehee? Listen, praise God. Hey, I have a frailty, but God gave me a hospital. Fix me, make me better. Amen. Praise God. Hey, praise God. You have a car today. It may not run all the time. My car makes a little squeal. How many of you have heard my car squeal? Hey, I praise God for my car. That squeal's awesome to me. It's talking to me. He tells me how he's doing this morning. Many people would say, oh, my car has a squeal. My car has a squeal. Praise God. He's talking to me. Amen. This gets me from my house to church. That's all I care. I don't like to go anywhere else with my car, but man, that's all it gets me. That's all I need to do. Praise God for my car. Praise God. Folks in our life, if we start praising God, kneeling, not just kneeling, talking to God, asking him, begging, but kneeling and praising him. To get finishing faith, you need to know God. To get finishing faith, you need to kneel. To get finishing faith, you need to keep moving. So know God, kneel, keep moving. Keep moving through the trial. Listen, God could have ended the trial when Job said, it's okay, God, you got this, I trust you. But God said, it's not over, Job. There's still something I want you to do. And Job was able to get his mind and his focus off of his trial and began to talk and teach other people around him. And it was at that point in time that Job's focus got off of himself and onto other people. And folks, I just want to tell you right now, one of the biggest things that got me through the trial with Noah and the trial with the hospital was knowing that there are people who are worse off than I am. You know, I was at the hospital last year with my pancreatitis and the blocked bile duct. But you know what? At the same hospital, there were people that were dying. There were people in the ICU. We were at the hospital at Barnes Jewish Hospital there with Florida Hospital, the hospital in St. Louis. And yeah, our baby was struggling. But there was a baby that crossed the hallway who died. He died. That mommy doesn't have her baby today. He's gone. We have our baby today. Listen, folks, if we're going to get through our trials, we've got to look around us and say, there's some other people who are worse off than I am. If we're going to get through our trials, we've got to say, I've just got to keep moving. I've got to get my eyes off of myself and start serving other people. And when you take your trial and you start taking your trial and start serving other people, your mind goes off of what your frailty is, start going on to helping other people. And all of a sudden you start feeling a little better because your focus is on somebody else. Folks, you want to get through a trial quickly? Start serving and helping somebody else. You don't feel good? Don't sit there and murmur and complain and moan and groan. Get up and go do something for someone. And guess what you'll start doing pretty quickly? Feeling better. You know, I think of my my family right now. My sister is an Orr. She married Bobby Orr. And Bobby Orr's dad passed away this week. And Mrs. Orr is now a widow. And Mrs. Orr came over the next morning, and I understand he helped cook breakfast for my sister and brother-in-law. She was struggling. She was child. But you know what? She didn't want to sit there and moan and groan and complain. She said, I'm going to move on. I've got to go help and serve other people. And you know what her mind was on that next day? It wasn't on the loss of her husband they've been married to for many years. Her mind was on her family. And she felt better. And folks, listen, when frailties come, get your focus off your frailty. Start focusing on your friends. And what did it say? Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When did God finish Job's trial? After Job got his eyes off of himself and his misery and started praying for his friends. How did it change? Job prayed for his friends. Folks, you got a prayer? You got a frailty? Guess what? So does somebody else. 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 So when you have a frailty, get your mind to listen, God, I need healing. But God, so does Linda Richards. God, so does Kevin Meekle. God, so does Bob McGeehee. So does Noah Frazier. So does Brother Southard. So does so-and-so. Folks, these folks are struggling, God, as well. Would you heal and would you help them? And all of a sudden, your mind starts going on to other people who need prayer. All of a sudden, your mind starts going on to other things that need to be going on. And your focus goes from your trial to other people. And it's at that moment God begins to take care of your issues as well. When you get your minds off of yourself and get your minds onto the lives of other people. Folks, the entire book of Job, first three chapters are Job's trials. The next, I think, 36 chapters are Job ministering to his friends. And it was at that point in time that Job got his mind off of himself. Those boils stopped itching as he started teaching his other friends. As he started realizing, hey, God's got me here for a reason. And I'm going to minister and serve and do what I can to praise God through this. Folks, our church grew and prospered through a difficult building program. The building program was going on, and yet Pastor and I were talking, and a lot of people were focused on the building program. Neil was. Neil was about the only person. Neil and Forrest, they were here every day. But the rest of us, we were praying for Noah. We were worried about how Noah was doing. And yeah, the things with the building program weren't going the way we planned, but we weren't caring about that because our mind was focused on Noah. And we got through that building program because our minds weren't focused on that. Our minds were focused on Noah. But it seemed like as soon as Noah got out of the hospital, our minds stopped focusing on others' problems and started bringing up our own problems again. And we weren't praying for Noah. We weren't seeking God for a miracle. We were starting to bring up some things in our lives that we were having issues for. And that unity stopped going away. Folks, listen, there's always somebody like Noah needs prayer. And I hope that we'll not let the little issues going on in our life, the little bickerings going on between one another, to get our eyes off focus off of praying for people. Folks, let's just understand Noah was a miracle. And God did that miracle because we prayed for them, because we trusted God through it. But there's always a Noah out there. There's someone else out in our church right now. There's someone out in our community right now. There's a young man, his name is Caleb, that I'm praying for. He's a young man who got in a car accident, and I think a month ago, they didn't think he had any brain waves. Now today, he's walking. How'd that happen, God? I think there's like 100, about 500,000 people praying for this young man. Folks, there's always someone out there like Noah, like Caleb, who needs our prayers, who needs our focus and our attention, and we need to focus on the frailties of other people and forget about the little fickle things. Don't let them disturb the peace. Let them just pass on. The fickle things don't matter. The little things, let's not focus on the little things. Oh, well, so-and-so said this to me. Oh, well, so-and-so such happened. Let's not focus on the small trials. Let's get our minds off of those, and let's focus on the other things, the things that are going on in other people's lives. And that'll help us. Listen, you want to have finishing faith? Know who God is. Kneel to God. Listen, you need to keep going. Don't let the thing kill you. Don't let it quit you from your ministry. Oh, well, I'm going to this. I got to quit my ministry. I remember when I was in the hospital on Wednesday and they were going to release me. And Barry was like, I'm going to teach for you. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to teach tonight. And I was so sick that Wednesday night, but that was because I wanted to do it. I couldn't wait to teach that night. Yeah, I was sick, but I couldn't wait to do it. But so many people will take a little sickness and say, well, I can't do my ministry this week. No. Do your ministry. You'll start feeling better, I promise you. Unless you've got contagious disease. In that case, yes, stay home. We don't want you bringing your contagious stuff here. So, but listen, if you just got, oh, I'm a little sick this morning, so I'm just going to call in and not be able to minister. No, if you're not contagious, get in here, serve the Lord, and you'll start feeling better. Folks, three tips to take with you. Your frailties will either make you bitter or make you better. Your frailties. Everyone has them. Everyone's going to go through them. They're either going to make you closer to God or they're going to draw you away from God. Don't let the devil win. Listen, the devil is our enemy. He's not our friend. Don't go his direction. Run away from him. Fight the devil. He wants to make you bitter. He wants to make you angry at the pastor. He wants to make you angry at the church. He wants to make you go away and run away. That's the devil. That's not God. The devil wants to make you bitter and angry and mad and frustrated. Jesus wants to make everybody happy. Jesus wants to make everybody glad. Fight the devil when you start getting bitter. And go to him. Do not make your frailty your finality. Listen, it's not over until it's over. It ain't over until the fat lady sings, amen? Listen, it ain't over until God says it's over. And you may be, all the doctor told me that I only had 2 months to live. Does the doctor know more than God knows? No. You may have 2 months to live by the doctors, but by God's might, you may have 2 years. Don't let your frailty be your finality until you're dead. That's when you can give up. But until you're dead, folks, listen, just keep fighting. Just keep praying. Just keep serving. Just keep loving. Just keep writing notes, amen, like Mrs. Anderson. Just keep showing up to church and asking God to help you. Folks, don't let your frailty be your finality. Consider others before you complain. Consider others. Before you open your mouth and start complaining to other people about how you're feeling, think about how others are feeling. Maybe they're going through a trial too, because they probably are. And you're going to come to them with your little bitty trial, and they're going to look at you and say, look what I've got going through in my life. Listen, before you start complaining, consider other people. Before you start saying how bad your life is, remember Barnes Jewish Hospital. Before you start complaining about how bad your life is, think of all those babies and those parents in the NICU. Before you start complaining and talking about how bad it is, think of all those folks who are going through chemo right now with cancer. Listen, you'll start complaining pretty quickly, won't you? You'll start praising God, at least I'm not there. Well, I've got cancer. Well, I'm going through chemotherapy. Well, at least you're living. Well, maybe you want to be in heaven, but I understand. Listen, hey, stop complaining. Start praising God. Start telling him thank you for things. Don't complain. Don't murmur. That shows God that you're not very happy with what he's doing. Tell God, I'm very happy with what you're doing, God. Do you think God's going to be a little more happy to help you when you're happy rather than complaining? Yesterday I was at Panda Express, okay? And the guy in front of me started complaining about his order. What do you think the waitress did to his food? Do you think she gave him a double portion of shrimp? No. But here I come in behind him. Hi, man. It's good to see you. You're doing a good job. Could I have some of that? Oh, yeah. Here, double portion of everything. Why? Because I didn't murmur and complain. I was grateful. I was thankful. And she gave me a double portion. Amen? Listen, God's the same way. You start murmuring and complaining to him, he's going to say, well, you know, I'm going to continue to bring it through you. But you start praising God and start telling him how happy you are with him. Oh, well, yeah, here you go. Here's a double portion. Here's more for you. Not more trial, more blessing. What did God do for Job at the end? Gave him a what? Double portion. Why? Because Job praised him. And Job served him. And Job was thankful for it. I don't have time. I was going to read you I watched a play at the high school on Friday, and it was called Seussical. And they have a little thing. It's a song that's in the show. It says, when the news is all bad, when you're sour and blue, when you start to get mad, what should you do? Tell yourself how lucky you are. When your life's going wrong, when the fates are unkind, when you're limping along and get kicked from behind, tell yourself how lucky you are. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, you start understanding how lucky you are when you start looking around you and finding out, man, things are pretty good for me. Dr. Seuss wisdom right there, amen. Okay, listen, when things aren't going your way, tell yourself how lucky you are. When things aren't going your way, tell God how wonderful you are. And I won't finish with that, I'll finish with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's say that word. Let's say that verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for me. And to God, I'm only up here because Pastor asked me to be here. But the truth of the matter is, there are so many people in this auditorium that, God, were a testimony of God's grace. And, God, they were encouragement to me. And, Lord, people preach messages without saying a word every week when they come in here with a smile on their face. And they actually sing praise to God and they mean it. But, God, there's some people here who can't do that. Lord, there are some people in this room who struggle with praising you through the trials. Lord, they tend to complain. They tend to get bitter. They tend to make their frailties allow them to be foolish rather than faithful. God, my desire is to not judge. My desire is to simply say, God can. God is good. And God wants to help you. And God wants to give you that double portion like he gave to Job. But he ain't going to do it if you're going to be complaining. He ain't going to do it if you're not going to be faithful to him. God, it takes faith. Lord, it takes your hand. And Lord, I pray tonight that we took some notes. And Lord, this is not my testimony. This is Job's testimony of how you got him through this trial. God, help us to take something with us. Lord, I just pray for the folks who are going through frailties right now. God, help us as a church to focus on them. I think of Linda Richards right now. I think of Delbert a few weeks ago. God, how our hearts and minds were turned to them. Lord, I pray that this church will be a praying church. That, God, folks will know that they're praying for us because that's what we do. We pray for our fallen people. And Lord, we won't just pray for folks who are sick, but pray for folks who are in sin. So many times a church's reaction to someone in sin is to cast them aside. But, oh, God, that's not what you did. You want us to pray and love them. God, help us as a ministry, as a church, to focus on the other frailties. And God, to be faithful to them and to be faithful to you through our trials. God, help us to finish our course with faith so that we might be a testimony to those around us, whether it's our grandkids, our own kids, whether it's the teenagers or the kids in this church, whether it's our neighbors, someone's watching us. And when the difficult times come, they need to see God in us so that they could get the praise, so they could see how good God is. Help us, Lord God, to praise you and to thank you. Lord, as we give this quick invitation, Lord, as the piano is going to begin to play, Father, Lord, I just pray that as you begin to move and hearts begin to be stirred, that folks will come forward. And if you're here right now, go ahead and stand. Go ahead and everyone stand to their feet. If you're here this afternoon, this evening, and Lord has spoken to your heart about something, get it taken care of. Just come forward. Get on your knees and tell God how good he is. Or maybe at your seat, just tell God how good he is. And ask God to give you the strength. Ask God to give you the faith. So that instead of murmuring and complaining, you can begin praising God. Ask God to give you the strength to make the small problems nothing. And to make the big problems small problems. God, help the folks, Lord, to understand that maybe some of their frailties is because of their faults. Maybe there's someone here today who knows they're going through something right now because of sin, because of something they're doing that's not right. God, help them to get that taken care of. Help them to ask for forgiveness and God to take away the pain. But God, I pray that most of we just learn from this that God is good. And that we learn through this that God can and he wants to. And that trials are not the end. Trials are tests. And Lord, when the tests come, we are better after that. Help us to pass our tests with joy. Help us, God. Help us, God, to seek you and love you and trust you through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. already.